Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
First of all, Jesus is a transliterated English name, but we need to understand its origin in Hebrew. If you were to say Jesus in Hebrew, you would say Yahshua. Yahshua. Practice that one time. Yahshua. It's a beautiful name. I've prayed in the name of Yahshua, Jesus, and I'll use both English and the original. And I had somebody stop me one time. This was years ago when I was incorporating a lot of Yahshua, Jesus in my prayer. And I said, who is this Yahshua you pray into? I said, well, just Jesus. I'm just using the original name, Yahshua. And the beauty of that original name, Yahshua, is that it means Yahweh saves. So the name itself, Yahshua, where we get the transliterated version, Jesus, where the origin of the name of Jesus. I'm not teaching a different Jesus. Don't write me no silly letter. I'm giving you the Hebrew name of the English name, Jesus. Same Jesus. Yahshua in Hebrew, Jesus in English. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? All right, and all you're getting, get understanding, all right? Because I don't want anybody leaving here saying, he's teaching a different name. No, Jesus is the name we speak in English. But if we were to use that name in Hebrew, we would say Yahshua, and I'm taking it to its roots so that you'll understand what you say when you say the name of Jesus. You are saying God saves. That's what the name means. God saves. It is a name that means salvation. As a matter of fact, Joshua, there's no J in Hebrew, so Yahshua, the book of Yahshua, the story of Joshua is really one of Jesus. Yahshua is the Old Testament name of Jesus. Joshua, Yahshua, Yahweh, Yah, God saves. So the name of Jesus alone means salvation. So whatever it is that you're facing, you need to see what's just in that name alone. I mean, when you say the name without adding 20 minutes of prayer, when you say the name alone, you are calling on salvation. No wonder the word says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What I'm wanting to do in this series is show you that there is power just in that name before you added anything before or after that name. Just that name alone has power. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower that the righteous run to and are safe. That word safe is synonymous with salvation. Proverbs 18, 10 is saying that when you run to the name of the Lord, you are safe. It'd be like you playing baseball and you're running all the bases and then you hit that home plate and the umpire hollers, safe. Or you hit first base and he says, safe. That means I'm safe. I have made it. Listen, the name of the Lord is a high tower that the righteous run to and are safe. There is safety in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is deliverance in the name of Jesus. There is protection in the name of Jesus. Listen, that name right there, hell don't have anything to oppose. Glory to God. It doesn't have a weapon in its arsenal that can deal with the name and the authority that God has invested in that name. Hallelujah. So in volume one of this prayer series, we talked about the word, and it's so important that we understand the word because it is by God's word that we know his promise. It's by his word that we know his will for our lives. That way we can do what 1 John 5 tells us, you know, in verse 14, that if we ask anything according to his will, if we ask anything according to his will, that not only will he hear us, but he will grant our petition. And we don't have to wonder and say, well, you know, I'm praying about this, that, or the other. I hope it's the will of God. Well, if it's the word of God, it's the will of God. See, his word is his will. He's given me his word so that I can know his will. That's what Isaiah 55, 8 through 11 is saying. He says in verse 8 of Isaiah 55, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts and ways higher than yours. And then he says, that's why he has sent his word, so that we can know his thoughts and so that we can know his ways. So the word of God reveals the will of God. So in 1 John 5 says, if you ask anything according to his will, that he will hear you and grant your petition. Recognize that when I ask anything according to his word, I know that my prayer is heard and that petition will be granted. That makes sense. Hallelujah. Now, watch this in John 14. And let's talk about the name. Verse number 13. Jesus says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask, or if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Let's read verse 13 and 14 out loud together. Ready? Read. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, as a believer in reading that in the Word of God, why would I not pray in the name of Jesus? I'm not talking about praying and then saying in your name. Because for those listening to my prayer, whose name? That's a politically correct way to pray in your name, because then anybody listening can say the name of whoever their God is. No, if you believe in the name of the Lord, use the name of the Lord when you pray in the name of Jesus. I have a very strong conviction about this. I don't want prayers prayed over me. I don't want prayers prayed in this assembly that aren't prayed in the name that is above every name, and that is the name of Jesus. The world tries to shove us in a corner where we want to be all politically correct and use all these pronouns. For a pronoun is in reference to the subject, and the subject is Jesus. So skip the pronoun and hit the noun, Jesus. Amen. All right, now come on over to chapter 16. Chapter 16, and we'll look at it in verse number 23. And whether you're praying to the Father in the name of Jesus, and you're incorporating his name in your prayer, beginning of your prayer, throughout your prayer, end of your prayer, there's no right and wrong place. It's that I recognize I'm reconciled to the Father. Matter of fact, go back to that 14th chapter. I want to show you something else over there. I'm reconciled to the Father. I have the right to pray because the Son gave me reconciliation. He's my mediator. He's my go-between. The Word says there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Mediator means go-between. Jesus is my mediator. Look at your neighbor and say, Jesus is my mediator. When you say mediator, you're saying go-between. It's the same word that we use for priest, mediator. Jesus is my mediator. He is my go-between. He's how I access the Father. I'm going to give you the scripture. It's 1 Timothy 2:5. It says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He's my mediator. Verse 6 says, for who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Jesus is my mediator. Say that out loud. Jesus is my mediator. So we don't actually have any rights to pray to the Father had Jesus not granted us that access as our high priest. Oh, man, so much to talk about. Many people understand, many believers understand what they've been saved from, but few really understand what they've been saved to. And there's a difference between what you've been saved from to what you've been saved to. Most of us can testify that I was saved from selfishness. I was saved from rebellion. I was saved from the streets. I was saved from, you know, a proud lifestyle. I was saved from doing what I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it, where I wanted to do it, and how I wanted to do it. Do it, do it, do it to you. But Lord, have mercy. See, I had a flashback right there, Jesus. Help me, Lord. So we give testimony of what the Lord saved us from. I don't necessarily have, you know, I was in sin, but I wasn't really all the way in the street because before I had to fear God, I had to fear my daddy. You understand what I'm saying to you? So I had to fear my daddy in my life, and that kind of kept me in the straight and narrow, and so it kept me safe till Jesus saved me completely. Hallelujah. But I know everybody's testimony is different, but no matter what it is that God has saved you from, and you don't have to necessarily have this testimony of what God has saved you from. Because I've met people that were raised in Christian homes that have known the Lord all their lives that might have felt less saved because they didn't have this testimony of all these years in rebellion. But what's more important is what God saved you to. And what God has saved us to is a relationship with the Father, reconciliation to the Father. I've said this many times, but I have to say it again because our audience is constantly changing and growing, and that is you can look at the first recorded words of God after man sinned. When Adam sinned in that garden, God's first recorded words were, "Adam, where art thou?" That's God's first words after sin, "Adam, where art thou?" Adam, and through sin, had separated himself from God. God's first statement after sin, "Adam, where art thou?" Because sin separates us from God. Psalms 8:4 teaches us in detail that when God created man, he created man and clothed him in the glory of God, in the essence of God's presence. When man sinned, he was separated from that. Thus we get Romans 3:23. Help me if you know it. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So the sin in my life separates me from the glory of God. Well, watch this. If sin separated me from the essence of who God is, from a relationship with God, then Jesus' salvation has come to restore man back to what he lost before sin. And what man lost before sin was not religion. Man lost relationship. And so it's relationship that is restored. And so Colossians 1:27 says the opposite of Romans 3:23. Romans 3:23 says all have sinned and come short of the glory. Colossians 1:27 says Christ in me, the hope of glory. Which means in my sin before salvation, I'm separate from God. But through Jesus Christ and his death and his substitutionary death, where he paid my sin debt so that I could be saved, now through Christ, I have hope for the glory of God. It's reconciliation. Jesus now is my mediator. He is my access to the Father. Just as Abel sacrificed that lamb in Genesis 4 and was granted access to God, and Cain brought no sacrifice and he was given no access, just as the blood of the lamb that Abel offered that gave him access to God, that's quoted in Hebrews chapter 11, the blood of Jesus gives me access to the Father. I have no access to pray. I have no access to pray the word. I have no access to God to even call him Father if I don't come through the priest that paid my sin debt and gave me this access. Praying without using the name of Jesus is to say, I can seek the Father directly without the work of the Son. Do you see how heavy that is? No, when I use the name of Jesus, and I'm going to prove this to you. I got something to show you here in John, and we're going to go over to John 16, then Hebrews 3. I'm going to make my case. I feel like an attorney here pleading the Lord's case. We're going to get an understanding of this. Now watch this here in John 14, and we'll look at it in verse number 6. Familiar verse to you. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Read the rest. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm not one of them preachers that's going to tell you that Jesus could be anything. No, Jesus can't just be anything. Jesus is Emmanuel. He is the Son of the living God. He was born of a virgin in the city of David, Bethlehem. His name was given Emmanuel, which means God with us. He lived a sinless life, and for no sin of his own, they took him into custody when he gave himself. He was put through a mockery of a trial and suspended on a wooden cross, heaven sent and earth rejected, where he bore my sin and yours, where he spilled his sinless blood to pay the price for my redemption. That same Jesus was taken off that cross and put in the borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Who borrows a tomb? Somebody that ain't gonna need it very long. After 3 days and 3 nights, not during the third day, but after 3 days and 3 nights, just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, Jesus was in the heart of the earth. And after 3 days and 3 nights, he got up from the dead with all power in his hand. That is the Jesus I'm referring to. Are we clear? Now watch this. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You say, you really believe that? I really believe that. You say, well, I don't believe that. I'm trying to help you. You say, well, I don't believe. I can't. I'm trying to help you. I can't die with that chance. You say, what if you're wrong? What if you're wrong? Are you willing to go to the grave denying that Jesus is the way and find out you were wrong? I wasn't willing to take that chance. And even if I died tomorrow and there were no heaven or no hell, I hadn't lost a thing. Because everything good in my life has come from him. Everything that is perfect and righteous and acceptable and worth having, Jesus gave me. He is the sole provider of everything that is good and perfect in my life. All I know is when I first called on him at the age of 17, he saved me and changed me. And every time I have called on his name ever since, he may not have showed up the way I wanted him to, but he always showed up in a way that was best for me. So if I died tomorrow, my faith has cost me nothing. It has given me a life of peace and joy and love and blessing, and I wouldn't trade it for nothing. So he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So why would we go to God in prayer and not exercise faith in the one that gave us the access in the first place? All right, come with me to John 16. John 16, verse number 23. Hallelujah. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Look at verse 26. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. Now put a bookmark here in John 16, put a bookmark, and let's come over to the book of Hebrews, and I want to go to the third chapter. I mean, we could close the service right now. I've read enough that I'm praying in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm praying on holidays and every day. Public, private, by myself, with a group, 3 people, 30 people, 3,000 people in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That name has power. That name woke up a baby asleep in its mama's womb at 6 months old. John the Baptist in the belly of Elizabeth when he heard the name of Jesus. Elizabeth said, ooh. The baby just leaped when he heard the name. Come on, somebody. That name pierces. You hear what I'm saying to you? Infants respond to that name. Hallelujah. Demons respond to that name. Angels respond to that name. That name's been given authority and power in heaven and in earth. There is authority in the name of Jesus. You can walk into any given public gathering, walk into a local restaurant and holler out Joe, and the only people that will look is Joe, the wife of Joe, and somebody that owes some money to Joe. But when you walk in and you say the name of Jesus, believers, unbelievers, old folk, young folk, white folk, black folk, every folk will turn and look, because there is something about the name of Jesus that arrests people's attention. You can go into your classroom and workspace, and you can put Nike on your shirt, Adidas on your shirt, any name you want on your shirt. But if you put the name of Jesus on your shirt, there are demons that are going to get aggravated and tell you you can't wear that shirt. There is something about the name of Jesus. Even unbelievers know its power. Even though those that deny there is a God know its power. Even those that refuse to accept the gospel know its power. You've never seen a Hollywood movie where any other name was taken in vain, but yet you hear the name of Jesus taken in vain. Because even the unbelievers know there's something about that name. Hallelujah. All right, watch this in Hebrews 3. We'll look at it in verse number 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle, and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now look at the wording here. Consider the apostle, special messenger, and high priest, high mediator, of our profession. He's the high priest of our profession. Let me say it another way. He's the mediator of our profession. Say that out loud. He is the mediator of our profession. What does that mean? That means when I make a profession of faith, When I declare words of faith, prayers of faith, like for an example, when we honor the Lord in our giving, we make a profession. I give thanks this day unto the Lord my God. We make a profession. Why do we do that? You may have been a member here and wonder, why do we make that profession every time we take up an offering for the Lord? Well, because it's biblical. In Deuteronomy 26, when they brought their tithes and offerings before the priest, they put them in a basket and then they made a profession. They professed words over those offerings. That's how you get a physical dollar into the hand of a spiritual God, is the profession you make over it. That's the Old Testament. Hebrews 3 says Jesus is the high priest of our profession. That means he's the mediator of my words. But as my high priest, I have to give him something that he can take before the Father. So So just as the Old Testament priest could not take a spotted lamb as an offering, because that offering that was brought to them had to be acceptable in order for the priest to take it into the holy place before God, we need to recognize that Jesus is the mediator of my profession. If Jesus is the mediator of my profession, then whatever it is I'm professing doesn't even get to the Father without the mediator.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McMenis. Have a blessed week.